Welcome, Dr. Diana Tadros, and congratulations for being one of our 40 under 40 honorees. We're going to get to spend 20 minutes together now, and really appreciate you making the time out of your very busy practice and spend some time with me and doing this podcast. So welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate you for having me.
Where first and foremost, where does this podcast find you? Where are you right now?
Right now I am in Fort Lauderdale. I have a practice here. I've been here for about 2.5 years. Prior to that, I was in Manhattan for many, many, many years. So
I was a sales rep in Manhattan. That's how I got my start. Where in Manhattan? And were you with a group practice?
Yeah, I was in Gramercy for a while, and then I had another practice up in Upper East. So between the two.
The weather is definitely better. Where you are.
Yeah, it's much different too. So I mean, now Manhattan's a little bit of a ghost town, but I can't say that I don't miss it every now and then. So
It's true. So it sounds like you had your start in Manhattan, and then you had what was the reason you were looking to Florida? When did you move?
So we relocated my husband. He finished his medical residency, and then we moved down to Florida, South Florida. So I actually had a bit of a hard time finding a really good practice to purchase down here. I didn't find many that were well-trained dentists, or there's a lot of shady practices. So luckily I had a mutual colleague that knew somebody down here, and I bought an excellent practice. The previous owner actually stayed on board. He works 2 days. I work 2 days. And it's been like that now for about over two years. So.
Well, that sounds fantastic. And sometimes it's not, working with a partner sometimes can be difficult. And that, is this the first time you've done that?
Well, he's actually, he's an associate. I bought the practice completely, and it's actually been really a phenomenal, relationship. We didn't even hire a lawyer when we did the practice transaction. We wrote our contract ourselves, and we kept saying, I hope this is the right thing to do, but we just thought we got along so well. We had similar values. It's a small fee-for-service boutique practice, and I let him do his thing on his 2 days, and he runs it kind of the way he wants with the staff, and I do it on my 2 days, and it's been a big blessing. So
that's fantastic. I often wonder how many business relationships that I formalize with contracts that you really don't need to. And so the way you did it with a handshake, and you both got behind your word processor and went back and forth.
Yeah.
You wonder if more people did that, the lawyers would go out of business. And
right.
But probably 90% of business arrangements could be done that way.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, usually what happens, I think, in a traditional practice sale is you're going through a broker, and that's how you find that practice, and you don't really have it much of a time to connect with the previous owner. I actually shadowed the practice for a good 2 months before I bought it. I was down here anyways in South Florida. I wasn't trying to find an associate job. We had just moved from Manhattan. I was really gung-ho on finding a practice to buy. And so I had nothing but time. I came in every day. I really liked the staff. I love them. They're all still with me today. Everyone in the office has been with us for over 20 years. So it was just, I couldn't imagine being anywhere else, and I don't think he could get rid of me anyways. So we had to just eventually sell it to me. So
that's fantastic. Okay. So if you don't mind, can we go back to, I guess one of my favorite questions is, when did you decide to be a dentist? Some people knew when they were 7, 8 years old. Some people didn't really realize it until they started wondering what they were going to do after college. So where were you on that continuum?
Okay, it's kind of an interesting story. I actually was in a 7-year medical program out of high school. I got accepted into this. It was like a dual undergrad med school program. And the only requirements were, after you finished your undergrad, you had to do the MCAT, whatever, then you would be guaranteed admission to that school. So the summer before I was supposed to take the MCAT, we had a family reunion. And one of my uncles is a physician, and one of my uncles is a dentist. And the one who was a physician said, I'm just going to say this, in my many, many, many years of practicing, I've always heard physicians say they wish they were a dentist, but I've never heard a dentist say they wish they were a physician. So he's like, just do with that info what you will, you know, it's a lot more years of training. And so at that time, it was a big shock for my family because I was so medical school driven. My parents didn't know what to do with me when one day I just decided, I think it was a week before my MCAT, I was like, I'm not taking the MCAT. And my mom's like, what do you mean you're not taking the MCAT? And she went crazy. So they actually shipped me up to my uncle, who's a dentist, to shadow him for a week. And I really liked it. And I don't know if I really comprehended everything that we were doing in dentistry. I just saw that he ran a small practice. Everybody knew who he was. He knew all his patients. They were, you know, just like this like relationship built. And I guess it kind of clicked, and I'm very thankful that it did. And I'm thankful for that conversation I had with my uncle, you know, many years ago, but it's true now, you know, so.
Great story. And, you know, it wasn't always that way in the 1970s and 1980s, early 80s, I think. The tide turned, I think, in the late 80s, early 90s.
For sure.
But at that time, many dentists wished they were physicians.
Right.
And now right. The tide is totally changed. And you can, I mean, there's so many reasons why.
For sure.
You mentioned that your partner is a physician.
Yeah. My husband, he's an ER physician.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So that's a specific type of physician. You've got to really, the work that he's doing is obviously as important as you can find in any field.
Yeah.
But that's an adrenaline fuel profession. So
he's a total badass. Am I allowed to cuss?
What's that? Are you allowed to say that? You're allowed to say it. Definitely.
Yeah, no, it's very, very, I mean, obviously this past year was a really trying time for that field of medicine. You know, they were, it really was a gruesome time for them, but I mean, I knew he would fight it until he couldn't anymore. So he's really cool guy. And we've, I've been able to catch him save lives on random trips we go on planes and stuff like that. So it's kind of neat. But you know what he does is very important. But he'll be the first to tell you, you know, like their malpractice is high, everything is high, liability is high. They're working these long hours, and you know, when you're in a hospital system like that, sometimes the recognition is not as, you know, as great as the workload. So
it's sad, but it's true.
Yeah, for sure.
So, so that's how you selected dentistry. And then you went to dental school where?
Yeah, so I actually, that was another interesting story. I actually went to dental school at the University of Tennessee. I'm from Florida. My brother was doing his last year of pharmacy school there. So they actually considered me like an in-state and I guess like a legacy because he was there. So I went there for dental school and then I went back to Florida for residency. So.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. And, you know, I'm very interested to hear how your practice has been doing in the pandemic. And what I've found is that in the South, it's been generally better than the North.
Right.
But what have you found in your case? And I mean, now I've been vaccinated. I've had my second vaccine. I'm sure you have too. That is, you probably have too.
Yeah.
But for a while, it was pretty touch and go. What was it like in your practice?
I'm a very unique situation. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. A lot has happened actually in the last 7 months with our practice. So I actually, come August, because I had a lot of holes in my schedule, things like that, I went digital, I got a scanner, and I got, there's a software dental labs use called Exocad, where they design all your cases for you, wax ups, you know, one of the. So for me, what was happening in the practice is I was doing these wax up, but you know, they charge you for it. And a lot of the patients were hesitant. So I ended up buying the software myself and I trained myself on it. And then I got a 3D printer. And it grew so much. Now we have 4 3D printers, and now I actually lecture for Exocad.
Wow.
So, we have our first webinar, in 2 weeks that I'm the speaker for. So my practice actually grew, and I don't know if it was really because we were in the South or because I put in this digital component where we were able to show them chairside right away without even charging for the wax up. We were able to fill the schedule very quickly because I'm not waiting 3 weeks for the turnaround time from the lab to do the wax ups anymore. So everything is designed here, and then we're printing the temps or the waxes before they even come for the prep appointment. But now I can see them the next day if I needed to, so, and get started. So
yeah, that's fantastic. So you're really a great person to ask this next question, because you made a big investment in technology and it's paid off. And so I would imagine somebody like you is always thinking about what's the next thing and what is going to be the thing in 3 years and what's going to be the thing in 10 years. And so I would ask this, what does dentistry look like?
I mean,
in 5 years and in 10 years?
I think, honestly, I think we are on the forefront of a lot of great things happening in dentistry. And I see this too, because as social media really picks up steam with the younger generation, they are now, they have access to these wonderful mentors and lectures. You know, when I first started dentistry, we didn't have Instagram and I didn't have mentors I could easily access. I would have to email somebody, maybe they would email me back. Now younger dentists are seeing all these exceptional dentists, you know, doing great things, and they're able to approach them directly. Do I think it's really going to be digitally driven? Absolutely. I mean, we face scan everybody, we're not just scanning their teeth. We actually have a whole face scan with a camera, and we can put that into the software. We can design everything totally facially driven. So I think the dentistry is only getting more and more exciting. You know, I don't know about the insurances and how that takes into play. We don't take insurance at our practice, but I think there's so much that we have to look forward to now. You know, I think in the 90s there was that rise of like everyone getting veneers and cosmetic dentistry, and now I think that's revamping, but at a whole higher quality level now and a more accurate and precise level. So I'm excited for it.
Totally,
I hope
agree.
I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'm going to be sipping pina coladas in the Bahamas somewhere.
Either way, it doesn't sound like you could go too wrong. Okay, so I've got one more question.
Uh-huh.
Because and then I know how busy you are. I'm going to let you get back to your day.
Uh-huh.
If you were to be speaking to a group of high schoolers, what bits of advice would you give them?
I think that thing I realized when I was in high school, I had no confidence. I wasn't, you know, I didn't know who I was going to be. I didn't know what I wanted to be. I had like my small group of friends. I was not in the popular crowd or anything like that. But I think if the one thing I could tell high school students is just be kind and stay focused. You know, when you're in high school and you're in that, you think that's the whole world. And, you know, now I look back, I maybe keep in touch with one or two people from high school. And, you know, the friends you meet along the way, as you grow, you know, they're even more substantial. So I don't know. I would just say, stay focused and, don't, you know, let success make the noise for you, you know? So
I like that. Let success make the noise for you. That's great.
Right. So,
well, Dr. Tadros, thank you so much for taking 15 minutes out of your very busy day. And congratulations once again on being one of our 40 under 40 honorees. And we look forward to what you will build in your new practice. And it sounds very high tech, and we'll be checking in on you from time to time. So thanks.
Awesome.
Once again.
Yeah,
it's great meeting you, and
you
make
well.
It a great rest of the week.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye. The book.